good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. It's a beautiful Monday morning. It's going to be a little rainy today, a little rainy tomorrow, but we're going to give thanks for that. We have an announcement. Todd Wright is in the building.
Good to be here, Steve. Thank you.
Good morning, Pastor Todd. How are you?
Doing amazing. Amazing. Every day's good. Some better than others, but all of them are good.
That's right. You're here for a special reason today. Yesterday, I guess it was yesterday or maybe been Saturday, yeah. But marked 25 years ministry at Midway Church.
Midway Church, yep.
And 25 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is. Quarter of a century.
Quarter of a century. When you started, you had a lot of hair.
I did. I wouldn't say a lot, but I did have hair.
But it migrated to
it's
your
all
chin.
Gone. That's right. That's right.
Well, I'm going to grow one of those funky looking goatees.
Yours won't be as good looking as mine.
I doubt it. Anyway, congratulations to that. And I'd like to start out by saying, you know, a lot of times we hear Christians, after they've received an award or an accolade of some sort, they say they want to give God all the glory. What do they mean by that?
Well, I mean, ultimately, God's the giver of life. He's the giver of our gifts and talents and abilities to do anything in life. And every day is a gift from Him. So I think it's only appropriate to start there. And everything else sort of flows from that. So we really can't take full credit for anything.
That's right. Even the air we breathe.
That's right. That's right.
Obviously, being lead pastor at such a large church for 25 years, you've had a great staff. Great lay leadership. Yeah. Tell us a little something about the people that work with you there.
Oh, man. Midway. When I first came to Midway, it was about 200 people, and average age was 60. I was 31, and they hoped to bring in a young guy to help bring in some younger people. But the lay people there first loaned me their credibility, some of the leaders, because when you first start off, you don't have any. They don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. But I can't give enough credit to those people who were respected and loved in that church, who heard what God was doing in my own heart and life, and really put themselves out there on the line to walk along with me to help lead the church. So I'm very grateful for those. And then staff, you know, started off with one staff member. I was the only pastor and only full-time employee when I went there, and then started hiring staff. Today we have about 30 employees. And I have two guys, one who served with me for 20 years, the other 22 years. So two guys over 20 years. And that's pretty astounding in ministry. The average pastor tenure is about 4 years, and staff members probably are less than that nationally. So very grateful and humbled. We don't get anywhere by ourselves. We don't succeed at anything alone. And if a vision or a calling or a mission can be done alone, it usually isn't big enough anyway. We have to involve other people. So very thankful for the people who've walked alongside me during that journey.
But, you know, back to the first 25 years, you mentioned those that were in the church of 200. You know, somebody told me one time that the best thing for a church is to have the older people with wisdom and the younger people with the drive and energy.
Sure.
And why can't it be done?
Sure.
And, I mean, is there truth to that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we've done. And not only have they provided the wisdom, but they've also, our older group in the church, I mean, yesterday we had three people there, three of our members that are 90 years old or older.
Wow.
Our oldest member, still very active, 93 years of age, Miss Rosa Sanders. And, you know, all of those folks I love. Our church is known for a young people church. Our average age is 34. So we have a lot of young families, but we love our seniors and realize the value and of their wisdom. And to be honest with you, you know, I'll be 57 tomorrow. I'm quickly moving into the senior adult range.
Happy anniversary. Happy birthday. Happy,
right.
happy.
But, you know, not only do those who are midlife and farther in age have great wisdom, but they usually are more established, more financially mm-hmm. stable. And if they believe in the mission, usually are the ones who, a large portion, help fund that mission and make it possible.
What benefits, advantages, treasures, assets, what's it like to be in a church for so long? So that you see the growth of families and mm-hmm. you see the challenges them, you know, overcoming and being part of their lives and generationally almost.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the great rewards of longevity.
Rewards.
Yeah. Rewards of longevity. It's I received a letter yesterday. A lot of people wrote me notes. A person who was there in sixth grade. Mm. And today they're an algebra teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about even my approach to teaching is an approach they use in mm-hmm. the classroom today. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see kids, I've done weddings of parents and now of children mm-hmm. after 25 years. So mm-hmm. that feels good. It's rewarding. Also, just to look around and say, I've been a part of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see tangibly, you see buildings, you see land, you see stuff. But it's so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
It's about the people.
Yeah.
And to hear people's stories about what you've done in their life or key moments you've been a part of is probably one of the most rewarding things. I had a man tell me just yesterday, he looked at me, grabbed me by the arm. I don't know him, but he attends. It's a larger church, so I don't know everybody by name. But he said, you have to understand, you saved my life. And I just looked at him, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, no, I'm serious. You saved my life, and that's all I'm going to say. And so I'm always aware that when I step up to speak, and I challenge our teaching pastors the same thing, we never know when we really are going to be the last voice somebody hears, or one where they have given an ultimatum, maybe to God. God, if you're real, or God, if you really are trying to do something in my life, you've got to do this today. You never know what kind of stuff that people are, that come journeys up people with. Are going on right. in their own life. And you're that spokesperson they're coming to hear. It's a lot of pressure sure. to know that sometimes you may be the last voice people hear. So always try to be aware of that.
Well, this journey hasn't been alone. You've had a wife, Lisa, I believe.
Yeah, right? Man.
39 years coming up?
39 years. Yeah,
that's a long
this
time.
Week. 39.
Now, if,
we were middle school sweethearts.
According to our investigative reporting, y'all got married rather young.
Yeah, we did. I've been 18 four days, and she was 16 years old, just finished 10th grade when we got married.
10th grade.
Both of us graduates of Harrelson County High School. Her dad, when I asked his permission and blessing, he said, yeah, you can get married. I just want her to finish high school. Well, I thought he meant get married as long as she finishes high school. He meant I want her to finish high school, then get married. But we moved on with plans, and he finally just said, okay, go ahead.
Minor detail.
Yeah, that's right.
What has she meant to you all these years?
Oh, I can't even describe it in words. Her number one goal in life was to be a good wife and a good mother and a good grandmother. And she excels consistently at all those things. When asked what is her ministry, sometimes people say, what's your ministry in the church? And her number one thing is, she said, to take care of Todd and keep him happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she has done that so well. Mm-hmm. And it's not the only thing she's done. She's managed rental properties. She's managed investment properties that we've had and real estate, ran a farm, ran a wedding venue that we had. She's just always on the move, but I can't express how much I love her, and I'm grateful for her journey with me.
Speaking of the journey, 25 years, as a pastor, lead pastor, one or two most important things you've learned?
I think number one is to be grateful and demonstrate gratitude every day. I oftentimes say the hardest person to lead is yourself. Mm-hmm. And we always complain, leaders complain about the people around them and how hard they are to lead, or they won't do this, that, or the other. But we're the biggest problem, ourselves.
Part of that is our thought process.
It is. It's how we think.
And our patterns, we get off balance.
That's right. Yeah. And we get selfish. We get insecure.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to think the world revolves around us as leaders. Egocentric leadership, they call it. So to me, I would say two things. One is gratitude. The other is humility. Being willing to take criticism, being willing to take accolades even, mm-hmm. and just say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being willing to listen to somebody else, realize we're not always the smartest person in the room,
mm-hmm.
and always, always say thank you and demonstrate gratitude. I've learned that there's an element of truth in every criticism somebody gives me.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be angry and frustrated at my criticism, and I may be angry to hear it. I may be aggravated about hearing it and hurt about hearing it. But if I will really pay attention and humble myself to listen, there's usually an element of truth there.
It's funny you say that. You don't know this, but I always say that the greatest person I've ever known was my grandmother.
Yeah.
Because she had a spirit of gratitude. Even though she had a laundry list of different diseases and back in the 60s, and it was horrific, but she always had a spirit of gratitude about her. I mean, all the time, no matter what hospital we were dealing with or whatever.
People enjoy being around people who are grateful and who are humble. And some see a conflict between humility and confidence. But to walk in humility gives us the opportunity to have the greatest confidence without it being arrogant. And it takes all of those things as a leader to be effective over a long period of time.
Our guest this morning is Todd Wright, lead pastor of Midway Church. Also, we've been very honored to carry his messages for the last several years, Keeping Life in Focus, which now is the topic, the content of a book by Todd, Keeping Life in Focus. We're on Facebook Live this morning. You can pull us up on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page. We're also on 106.3 FM and 1330 AM. And we'll be back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. This is probably one of the most enjoyable programs I've had, and always it's always a treat to have Todd Wright in here. And we're celebrating and honoring 25 years of ministry at Midway. That was before, when you started, the sanctuary hadn't been built. The building?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
I came there in 1996, and we built the sanctuary in 2000. We went into it in 2000, built it in 99.
It was just a simple brick building, sanctuary,
church,
and we had the cemetery next door.
That's right.
And then they built the fire department next to the cemetery.
That's right. And we donated the land for the fire department.
Did you really?
Sure did, yep.
Men
in our church founded the fire department many years ago as volunteers.
Any jokes about having a fire department next to a church?
Oh, there may have been. I haven't heard them.
All right. Well, good deal. Tell us, while we got you, I want to ask you some broader questions, because before you know it, we'll be out of time, and I want to ask you many, many different things. Tell us about what you've seen over the last quarter century. Isn't it nice when I say that?
Quarter of a century.
About the challenges that, we hear a lot about the breakdown of the family, and I know you've seen thousands probably of situations like this, family splitting, drug use, et cetera. How do you compare the state of the family now as 25 years ago?
Well, I don't have data to back it up. I'm not a big data researcher, but just in what I see more grandparents raising grandkids, and that's indicative of a deeper problem, a deeper issue. And to be honest with you, I trace a lot of that back to a drug we all know as meth.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
How about that?
I see it over and over again. Meth. It comes up. And so many people, once they start, choose that as their best friend. They choose that over their kids. They choose it over their family, their parents, their integrity, their work life, everything. And I see it as absolutely destructive. And we have support programs to help people get off. Not only meth, but any addiction. We have support groups, those kind of things. But yeah, it's a major issue. And so the family has lots of challenges, but that is certainly a major one. And to be honest with you, most recently, COVID-19 has created another major problem.
Let me ask you about that, because it seems like post-pandemic, or as we move into a post-pandemic phase, that fear now is a greater emotion, a greater attribute to a lot of us. It seems like we've been living in fear for a year. Did you pick up on any of that?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt a large portion of this last year, people were afraid to go out, afraid to shake hands, afraid to do whatever. But even now, a year later, I'm finding a lot of people who may not be living in fear have found a new lifestyle and that lacks commitment. And even though they may have gone beyond the fear, they're still acting like they're afraid, but it's selective fear. You know, they're afraid to go to church, but they're not afraid to go to Walmart.
Right.
Okay. They're afraid to go to school, but they're not afraid to go to Home Depot.
So if I said they've used the pandemic and fear to be able to make excuses, would I be
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Without accountability.
Without accountability.
Yeah. People can become, I hate to say it, they can become mediocre in so many areas of life because it's easy. It's easy to just sit and eat till you die.
Sit in the recliner.
Sit in the recliner, watch TV, eat till you die. People see that as relaxing or time off or whatever. There's an ingenuity. There's a drive. A man does not feel good about himself at all unless he's contributing something.
That's why we were given work in large part.
And right now, so many people have been given reason to not do anything. And we're going to find more and more depression.
Yeah.
Less self-esteem and confidence about life. And that's going to have more repercussions.
More
in the
dependency
family.
On government.
Yep. Absolutely.
But now what you're saying is extremely significant, because what you're describing is a overall change in our society and our get up and go,
absolutely.
Free enterprise, you know, pull you out by your bootstraps.
Think of the young adults who this is the era they've grown up in.
Well, I can't imagine.
Just going through high school or just getting out of college and the dreams that oftentimes have been sucked out of their life.
Well, right, I mean, just, and you put social media phenomenon
absolutely.
On top of that.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't bode well for the future.
Woke, the woke culture, all those kinds of things, yeah.
Well, that's my opening, to go to the woke culture. You know, political correctness came about 2010 or thereabouts, where you can't speak openly and truthfully in public, which really kills freedom of speech.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us about, you know, being in front of a congregation from the pulpit. Do you feel hindered? I know that behind this microphone, it used to be that we were more concerned about what the FCC was going to do to us. Now we're more concerned about what the social media mob's going to do to us. So how has it changed being able to bring the word and to preach in this type of woke culture?
Well, I think we have to be selective at how we do it, but truth is truth. Mm-hmm. And it's not Republican or Democrat or Libertarian to say if a man doesn't work, he should not eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a biblical principle.
Right.
Okay. So I can preach and teach what the Bible has to say. It can fall where it may.
But now when you're preaching and teaching what the Bible has to say and you see members of your congregation squirming.
Sure.
And they're giving you a look like you can stop right there.
Sure.
Or even maybe the biggest donor to the church.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The key is I can speak with confidence on biblical truth. Now, if I step over and I use West Georgia sarcasm, which I have plenty of being raised here, then I may have stepped out of line because I've moved over beyond truth and I'm using a tool that really is not wholesome and not godly.
Right.
So, you know, just stick to the truth. A phrase that I've often used, I never mind somebody being offended at my position.
Mm-hmm.
I never want them to be offended at my disposition, at my attitude, at the way I've said something. So I want to show grace and love, but people have to hear truth. It's the only clear compass. A compass, it points to true north.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way a person can have clear direction in life. And the Bible, I believe, is always right. Mm-hmm. I don't care what culture says.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is always right. And if we disagree with that, we're wrong. The Bible's right. The Bible says, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. Mm-hmm. And sticking to what the Bible teaches, I'm never going to lead anybody astray. My opinion or my interpretation within culture might be hindered, but the Bible itself is going to always lead me to be fine and lead other people in the right direction.
In a lot of ways, you know, we elevated the counterculture of the 60s, mm-hmm. and really being the counterculture of today is probably the best of the best. Tell us, you opened kind of the door when you talked about West Georgia colloquialisms and such. Do you think much about the spread out of Metro Atlanta into our region and what it might mean for us?
It certainly is a great opportunity. Does it, when people who were not from a culture move into a culture, does it affect things in time? Sure it does. That's, all of us are here. Go back to 1826 when the North American Indians were here and sure. white America moved in.
Sure.
And we founded the states and all those things. It affected everything. And so that always happens. But to me, it's also, as a believer, as a Christian and a pastor, it's a massive opportunity because we're challenged with the gospel to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so when people move in, it's a great opportunity for churches to give them the gospel, to reach them, to love them, because they're ready for a new life. They're trying to get established. So we meet people regularly at Midway Church who are not from Midway. And I love it. I love that opportunity.
We hear in Carroll County, you know, approximately 10% of total population goes mm-hmm, to church sure. on Sunday. How's the church doing in Carroll County? How's the church doing in America? How's it doing globally?
Well, when I had the exact statistic, it was 2003, and it was 14.4% attended a church in Carroll County. Today, I assure you, that's much less, mm-hmm. especially because of the pandemic. Yeah. We were averaging well over 2,000 visibly, personally, in attendance in the rooms with children and adults before the pandemic. Right now, we're about 1,400. So we're grateful to have that beginning to build back. We have a large online presence. Our audience is actually larger than it's ever been because of our online presence. We have a great process for that. And some of our folks still feel afraid to get out. But church in general, it's just sped up the death process for many churches, to be honest with you. Churches are dying across America in many cases, and there's some bright spots. But as a whole, lots of churches are in trouble. And yet, the gospel is the hope for mankind, I believe.
Our guest this morning is Todd Wright, lead pastor of Midway Church. We're talking about his 25 years anniversary at Midway, and we're going to be back with more with Todd after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
As a graduate of Oak Mountain Academy, I've found that my experience on the mountain prepared me beyond all expectations. As a junior at Auburn University, I approached my studies with great confidence thanks to what I learned at OMA. When I think back on my time on the mountain, I think of my teachers. Their genuine love and concern for me as a student was always evident. And now, as an adult, I still foster those relationships. I'm Carly Robinson, an Oak Mountain Academy alum. Visit oakmountain.us to see how you can offer your child an amazing opportunity to be a warrior.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I don't know why I'm coughing. I shouldn't be. But good morning, and thank you for listening. We're going to run out of time. We always do. We got Todd Wright, 25 years, and we're celebrating that. And you're not in camo this morning, so I know something's wrong. You're one of the great hunters of all time.
I don't know about all that, but I do enjoy it.
And I think your dad got you. You had Wright's Army Store.
That's right.
And so you've kind of grown up with hunting. And
that's right.
What do you enjoy about it?
I don't know. Part of it's, I guess, linked back to my childhood and hearing those men come into my dad's store, you know, telling their stories. But there's something primal, I guess, inside of men, and I enjoy that. Love being out in nature, and if I don't even see anything, I mean, I've been to Alaska moose hunting and got a nice trophy moose, and out west elk hunting and enjoy that. I coon hunt today. I have a coon hound and tree and walker coon hound, and love to coon hunt. I was doing that when I was 12, 13 years of age on the Tallapoosa River, and here I'm 57 tomorrow, and I'm still doing it, still carrying out my childhood dreams of a competition coon hound. And so I just enjoy it. Love getting out. And it helps me meet people. It helps me enjoy life. And really, I think, helps my health, to be honest with you, both mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Gives me a lot of good exercise. You can take an atheist out in the woods, and they've got to kind of acknowledge that God has created this.
That's right. Something. Yeah.
I mean, they may not verbalize it, but they go, uh-oh.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
I always like to conclude with the program. We've still got a couple of minutes. So before I do my final question, tell us if someone wants to come to Midway, where is it? When are your services, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. We are Midway Church. Our website is midwaychurch.com, midwaychurch.com, just simply. And we are located literally midway between Carrollton and Villarica on Highway 61. And that's why they added the word Midway to the name. We're actually officially Midway Macedonia Baptist Church, mm-hmm. and have been for a long time. We're the second oldest church in existence, I'm told, in West Georgia. And 1847 was our founding. And we still have several descendants from the founding pastor and members who are members of the church today. And so all the information is there. We have two services every Sunday. We're a multiracial church. We're a diverse church of people who've come to West Georgia. Economically, we're diverse. So just a lot of ages, a lot of good programming we work on. But I always say we're 6 miles from Longhorn in Carrollton. And we're 6 miles from the interstate in Villarica. So we literally are midway.
Yeah, the first one is a great landmark. So. Well, with only 2 minutes left, if someone were to ask you, what is the gospel, how would you respond?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of answers to that. I want to say, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. I firmly believe God exists. I firmly believe he sent his only son to die for our sins. I don't think any person has a problem knowing they've sinned. You look at your own life, and we won't get into heaven. We will not stand before God and spend eternity with him and be welcomed into heaven without being saved, without having being forgiven of our sins. And Jesus Christ paid that price for our sins. You know, I've been around the world to numerous countries. I see the gospel. I see people respond to the basic good news that Jesus saves, that God loves all people, regardless of what they've done, what their journey has been. And Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead so they can have eternal life. And that's my message. That's what it's always been. And that's what I continue to preach. And people still respond to the gospel today, regardless of age, economic background, or gender. People have to bend their knee and open their heart to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's the only way to heaven. And so that's the gospel in a nutshell, and that's the message I preach.
Our guest this morning has been Todd Wright, lead pastor of Midway Church, celebrating 25 years of ministry at Midway, author of the book Keeping Life in Focus, which is the 60-second messages we've been honored to carry on our radio stations for many years. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity. And thank you, West Georgia, also, for listening.
And God bless, and go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.